Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Spoiler warning. If you don't want the movie Sisters spoiled for you, if you don't want to know where the story goes and the twists and turns of the mid-budget comedy Sisters, then you best stop listening now because we're going to get into it.
Peace. I hate the word.
I got trust. I got one leg and a bucket of chicken.
Putting a little cornstarch on my werewolf, man.
Luigi Mario.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Mission Zach's Leguizamarama. This is a podcast where each week myself, Mish, and my friend, Zach, have a chat about John Leguizamo and some sort of movie that he has been in. Sometimes it's a movie, it's a TV show, a music video, whatever we can be bothered watching that week. My name is Mish Wittrup. You might know me from Mission Zach's Leguizamarama, the Wendy Williams interview episode. I was a main feature. And I'm joined, as always, by my dear friend, Zachary Thomas Ruane, who you might know from.
From commenting in the latter half of John Leguizamo's Instagram Live a couple of weeks ago, which we will get into.
Oh, my God, we have to talk about that.
To try
that.
And support Mish Wittrup in her goals. But we will get into that. But I don't want to do – because that's such a long – I'm going to go on about that for so long.
Yeah.
That it would be rude not to introduce our guest before.
Absolutely.
I do that.
So warning to our guest before we introduce you that we are going to introduce you. We'll give you around about 30 seconds of time and then Zach and I are going to talk about John Leguizamo's live on Instagram.
Great. I'm excited about
that. If you're a John Leguizamo fan, this is like – this live is now, in my opinion, up there with Chef – with Mario Brothers,
yeah.
With Tu Wong Fu.
This is a 5 out of 5 Leguistamo live.
All right.
This live is there. It's like it was huge.
I'm so excited to tell you.
I only saw the ad for it where he did a little picture and he put it on Twitter and he said, "Hey, I'm going live," and I missed it. Hi, I'm Annie. Hello.
We're going to introduce you.
We'll do it.
Oh, my bad.
We'll do it. We're professionals.
I was too excited about it.
So Zach and I are joined by our dear friend, the hilarious comedian, writer, actor. She's absolutely brilliant. We're so happy to have her here. She is 50% of comedy duo Annie and Lena. It's Annie Lumsden.
Yay. I started a snap for myself.
That's good.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me, guys.
No, thank you so much for being here. I'm very excited.
So I'm so excited.
It's interesting that we're having you on this week. We had Sam Lingham on last week. And Zach and I used to live with Sam Lingham. But here's a fun fact. When Zach and Sam moved out, not because we had a fight, but they graduated university.
We graduated. We were ready to take on the world.
Yeah. Guess who moved into our little abode?
Who?
It was Annie Lumsden.
I did do that.
Yeah. So I've also lived with Annie Lumsden.
I know the couch that you've sat on with Zach and had many a chats and darts. Yeah. I've also sat there.
No darts.
Because you have a singing voice you need to maintain.
Exactly. And, you know, alcohol is my poison.
Babe, with you on that.
Did you take on Zach's old bedroom?
I can't remember. It was the one like right next to the lounge room.
That was rotating. That was my old bedroom. And then when the boys moved out, I took one of the front rooms.
You would have taken Tim's or mine.
Mine was the front. If I'm standing in the kitchen. The layout of this house was. So imagine you're on
Ballarat.
The front. I'm joking. We did a podcast maybe a week ago, 2 weeks ago, where I spent 45 minutes describing the layout of the cinema I used to work at.
Fantastic.
It's a little joke about the fact that I was going to do that again. Although there were messages, DMs, comments that were like, do that. That was the best thing you've ever done.
Oh.
And I would go, I think as a special treat, Zach spending 45 minutes describing a location, that's a special treat. That's a sprinkle of sugar.
That's great.
I'm not going to do that every podcast.
Okay, great.
That's your own podcast. Zach describes.
Zach describes.
Do that on your own time, physical bucko.
A man who has.
Zach-a-tect.
A man who has issues Zach-a-tect. With his left and right.
That's Zach-a-tect.
Zach-a-tect. Yeah, that's great. Which room were you in? Were you in Tim's or were you in mine?
I was in Tim's. So when you. So, okay, I'll do it. It's different if I do it. You stand.
Ah, boring. Well, wrap it up, Mish.
Fuck off.
I'd like to hear it, Mish.
Thank you, Annie. So little walk down memory lane for the people in this room.
Like fitting because you start by walking down a hall.
You do.
Yeah, which is kind of like a lane.
Yes.
Anyway, who's you walk in the front door and either side of you, like so you look directly down a hall and either side of you, on the left-hand side and the right-hand side, there's a bedroom. Mm-hmm. I was directly on the left-hand side.
Okay, sure.
So my window looked directly outside.
I did live opposite you once.
Did you?
I did, and then I moved, and it doesn't matter. Just because I had my bike leaning against the window thinking, I'll just keep an eye on my bike while I sleep and no one will ever nick it, and then they nicked it.
Did someone nick it?
Yeah.
Of course.
We had some fucked stuff happen. Do you remember when that guy tried to steal my car? Innocent.
Oh, yeah. Were we watching him?
Yeah, both you. So Annie and I saw someone try and steal my car. So my car was parked on the street and directly out the front. And some drunk dude came and was trying to get into my car, and Annie and I were just kind of watching him, and every once in a while being like, hey, hey, because we were so scared. Stop. Excuse me. Hey. And then our other housemate, Elsie, shout out to Elsie, was like, what's going on? It's like, someone's trying to get into my car. And she just stormed outside.
She's
like,
she'll get you.
Yeah, oh, she'll bloody get you. And
she'll bloody get you.
She just stormed outside. And she's like, all right, get on your bike. Get out of here. Get on out. And he was just like, huh? And she was just like, oh, that's not your car, mate. On your bike. And then Annie was like, thank you. Thank you so much.
So funny.
Yeah. Anyway, and then there's one directly to the left and one directly to the right. And then you walk a little bit and there's another one directly to your left and another directly to your right. So it's a four-bedroom house. And then it opens up into your big lounge, kitchen area, some weird study that we never used, and a bathroom that was a corrugated iron bathroom.
Strange that that study was never used. Like, strange that there was just a room there that was never used. I forget about that room.
Yeah, stuffed with stuff from previous tenants.
Yeah. Was there, because I remember when I moved out, I think there wasn't, like, I remember when we were there, because there was this sort of rotating, it was never fully empty, if that makes sense. Yeah. The house was never fully, like removed of people, you know, like.
I'm laughing because we were so excited to talk about the life and now it's describing an old room.
Oh, wow. This is the most on track we've ever been,
okay,
Annie.
Do you remember?
Well, but this is, I was just going to say about this house, right, because there was never anyone, usually, you know, four people live in a house, they all graduate, four new people move in. And when those four people move out, they've got to do a deep clean. They've got to do like a, but because there was always like, you know, when we graduated, you were there. Like when I started living there was a third year living there. They moved out. And then when I left, you were there and new people moved in. So there was never a point where everyone left.
Yeah.
And I remember there were dry goods. I think that's the word for it. Flour, sugar. Yes. Things that do not go off. Mm-hmm. You know, in your mind, you don't check the use-by date of a bag of flour because it's a dry bag of flour.
Yeah.
There were things in the cupboard that were off.
Yeah.
Like flour. There were things that, you know, are
spices.
Spices in date for years that were years out of date. And the smell of off flour is with me to this day. Was there still off flour in the house when you were there?
Yeah, we never cleaned the cupboard.
I did. I threw away a big bag of potatoes that had grown more potatoes.
Oh, yeah, I remember that. We lived together as well during the mouse plague.
Oh, yeah, and you were, I got the mice, you got the spiders.
Yeah, so
that was a good deal.
When Annie and I lived together, Ballarat was hit with a mouse plague and we had mice in our house, and I am petrified of mice.
Yeah,
I'm not scared of spiders, I'm not scared of snakes, the dark heights, I'm good. But rodents, so mice and rats, petrified.
I didn't know that.
But Annie.
Yeah, right.
Annie is from.
I'm from Warrnambool.
Warrnambool.
The city of Warrnambool, seaside town.
Fuck, I thought you were from more country than that.
No, I know.
Anything that isn't in a city to me is the country. So, anyway.
That's my sense. Yeah,
and Annie is fearless with mice. So she would take care of the mice, but she's a little bitch when it comes to spiders.
Oh, creepy.
You're a little bitch.
You guys are like a little team.
Say it. Say you're a little bitch.
No. Oh, all right. I'm a little spider bitch.
You're a little spider bitch.
That's okay.
And I would look after the spiders.
Sometimes I wonder if we're a little rude to our guests and then I go, nah, it's all part of the fun. And then other times I sit back and I look at my co-host forcing our guests to admit that they're a little bitch and I think maybe we have to work on our technique.
No, I'm just hoping to get some fan art where I'm drawn onto a little spider and says,
oh, my God, if someone could do that, that would be great.
And then we promise we'll feel bad about not posting it. Mm.
I'd also like to just add right now that I'm deeply apologetic for asking my very dear friend to call herself a little bitch.
Well, no, I actually think it's very funny, and I think you guys are more than close enough to for you to say,
yeah, to set up a meeting,
call yourself a little bitch. Yeah. I'm just saying to a listener who doesn't know how close you are, it's a very funny notion. The idea of someone going on like a Stephen Colbert, the idea of like, maybe some sort of actor, maybe Tom Hanks goes on Stephen Colbert and Colbert starts going, I want you to admit that you're a little bitch. It's very funny to me.
How would Tom Hanks handle that situation?
I think he'd handle it like a pro. Yeah. I think he'd just be like, he'd make a little joke.
He'd know all the tricks of getting out of questions.
Yeah.
He'd know all the tricks about getting out of calling himself a little bitch.
I think he would even, but just charmingly.
Yeah, in a charming way. Well, I suppose I'm a little bitch.
Those interviews, that like Tonight Show interview looks like the most fucked, difficult thing ever. Because it's not an interview.
I think it's really like Tom Hanks. You mean every time?
Just right? All of them. It's like it's not really an interview so much as it is like a storytelling with a host sitting next to you. Like you have to tell the producers what story you're going to tell. With those interviews now, they go like, "What story do you want to tell?" And they vet stories, and you can't tell the same story twice. Mm. And it's like And fun little fact, once someone asked John Leguizamo what his most, the worst show to go on was, and he said Letterman. He said Letterman's no good at interviewing. Fun story. Good. Leguizamo, I remember that from years ago.
Since I started, just talking directly to Annie here, since I started podcasting, I've learnt there are things that I should say and things I shouldn't say. Like I shouldn't rag on someone that I could potentially work with one day. I shouldn't ask my friends to call themselves little bitches.
No, that's fine.
That's fine.
Okay, I approve of the second one.
Okay, great.
I'm
about to rag on a celebrity.
Okay.
Oh, I love that.
Okay,
oh.
But I think that this one's okay because it's purely an observation and my opinion. It's not me saying I think that they're fucked, but it's about Ellen DeGeneres.
Oh, that's fine.
That's fine. That's
Can I just give you context here, Annie? That's cool. We've done podcasts in the past where Mish rags on people that are just nowhere near far enough away from us.
Oh, yeah.
Like she underestimates her own standing within the scene.
Her 6 degrees of separation is not six.
So like she'll be like, how shit is this podcaster? And I'm like, no, how shit is this television host? And I'll be like, Mish, like I guarantee you'll be at some like weird after party in 2 years' time and they'll be there and they won't know.
Yeah.
Because no one listens to this podcast.
That's a very sweet worry to have. Mish is also going to run into all these famous people.
But like what I'm saying is she's not like Ellen DeGeneres, go for it.
Oh. Are you saying that there's not a chance I'll be on the Ellen DeGeneres show before it gets cancelled in 3 months?
What I'm saying is you throw some stones at Ellen DeGeneres, there's so many stones being thrown the chances of her finding that stone is less.
I disagree. What if Portia is down here in Geelong? Yeah.
That's true. I mean, it's a risk. I wouldn't throw stones at Ellen DeGeneres.
She's doing that for you. No, I don't know.
But what I would say is Ellen DeGeneres versus like a Gretel Colleen as an example. I'm just pulling out of my hat.
What's Zach
maybe
trying to say
throwing
is that
swipes at a Gretel Colleen who has
type yeah.
host a Gretel Colleen type who has hosted a show with a person that used to be in the same venue as me.
Yeah, currently in this where we are,
yeah.
I believe.
Yeah,
as well.
She's worked with Sam Peterson. She's shot stuff in this studio. Maybe a Gretel Colleen type is a little too in our circles.
Not as far out of the realm. Yeah, okay.
Oh, fuck.
But Ellen.
What do you want to say about
it.
Ellen DeGeneres? Okay. Let's tear her up.
So,
just kidding.
I'm ready to hear this.
Firstly, just out of nowhere, Gretel Colleen was an excellent host of Big Brother.
Love Gretel Colleen.
Oh, my gosh.
We love Gretel.
The best.
You know who I love? Amanda Keller. Anyway. I love Amanda Kelly. Remember that show she used to host on ABC? Like pop culture.
On the Generation one, was she?
No, well, before that, she did a show like about pop culture. I remember me and Reese Nicholson just had this moment where we were like, what happened to that show? That show was great.
She tried other jobs?
She does The Living Room now.
Yeah, before The Living Room, before Talking About Your Generation, she did a show Wednesday nights, ABC, where they would talk about pop culture and stuff. It was a top-notch show. It only lasted for one season. Myself and Reese Nicholson believe that it was snubbed and it should have gone for more seasons.
Okay, noted.
But you were going to say something. Before you do, though, just before you do it, I just want to give context. I haven't read any news about Ellen DeGeneres in the last year and a half, 2 years. I think she's so wonderful.
America's sweetheart.
Fun. I love her positivity.
Okay, cool. Ellen. Ellen does this thing when she interviews people that drives me crazy.
Oh, I love this. This is great.
I hate it. So she'll have a celebrity on and she'll spend the first 5 minutes with this celebrity literally saying stuff like, I love you so much. Remember that time you came over to my house for dinner and we had really good laughs all night and we drank a little bit too much vodka? I just love you so much. You're so talented. Your movies are so great. We love each other. We're friends, by the way, everyone. Like, we are friends. I love you so – and I hate it. I hate it. It just drives me fucking crazy. I don't care if you're friends with Wanda Sykes.
Have you seen that? Seen that one where she starts by saying, oh, "You had a birthday party that I wasn't invited to."
Yes, yeah. And then it was
that was the beginning of the end. For
oh, was
that was
yeah, that and was
who
the,
was that? That was the 60 Shades
Dakota,
of
Dakota. So that's I genuinely watch that interview every 4 months. Three or 4 months, I'll just chuck that interview on because it is just I'm trying to learn to – my psychologist is working with me on assertive communication, just how to
that's a good example.
Yeah. You don't need to be passive-aggressive, just clear, concise, and truthful. Mm. And it is the most beautiful example of assertive communication where she's just like, why didn't – well, Ellen, I did invite you. It's my favourite thing I've ever seen in my life.
I did. Oh, that's great. I did watch the Robert Downey Jr. interview on your recommendation.
Is that the one with
where he just gets up and says, "No, I'm."
Oh, I love that too.
What's that one? I've not seen that. What's that?
I looked it up after hearing you talk about it.
What does he do? Oh,
someone asks inappropriate questions. And
we've probably talked. Yeah, we've talked about it on this
podcast.
Okay,
oh,
that's so funny,
back,
but that's fine.
Anyway, what about? Oh, yeah.
But no, I will just basically this guy tries to go really deep with
Robert Downey
Jr. Talks about his like drug problems, his relationship with his father in an 8-minute presser. He's in a hotel room. This guy sits down, does like one question. Was it fun doing the Avengers? And he was like, yeah, it was fantastic. I got to work with all these people and we did lots of special effects. And then he was like, now, do you think your relationship with your father, did that come up for you a lot while you were in prison?
Oh, my God.
And it's the most beautiful moment, which he just takes off his thing.
He's like, okay.
And he just walks out. And it's really like, it's really admirable. Yeah. I really like it because it's like, because that guy also has a clip where Quentin Tarantino like goes in.
Oh, that guy.
Yeah.
Yep, I know the guy.
It's like for the BBC.
Because Quentin Tarantino, like he asks him about violence and Tarantino's like, I'm not going to fucking.
And I'm shutting you the fuck down.
Right. Yeah. And then Robert Downey Jr.'s response is like the complete opposite, which is just like,
okay,
I don't want to talk to you. Mm-hmm. about my personal life, so I'm going to leave. And it's just like, mwah.
In all fairness, Annie, you would have been completely within your rights 7 minutes ago when I basically forced you to call yourself a little bitch to have taken off your headset and been like, I'm not going to call myself a little bitch and walked out of the room.
Hey, everyone gets one strike.
So do it again. And I'm bloody out of here.
And I'm going to get a sandwich.
I'm going to go and get a sandwich.
I can't believe I'm going to be the guy to keep this on track.
Yeah.
But because I'm not. So what we're going to talk about. Going to talk about the live before we talk about Sisters.
Yeah, I missed it. I didn't know where I could watch it again. Probably on Instagram.
Yes.
I would really like to start this conversation, if that's okay, because I want to say it from my perspective.
Oh, 100%. Because you, this, and I was going to throw to you because I only came in a little bit late and I was very confused. So I think it's actually, this is your story to tell.
Okay.
But this live was
so good. So, Zach and I have been trying to make contact with John Leguizamo for quite some time. Obviously, this podcast is now 38 episodes long or something like that.
Oh, my God.
I know.
He does the retweet sometimes, the share.
Oh, he loves it.
Leguizamo-rama.
He loves it. And we get very excited about that. But what we would really like is a bit of direct communication. So whether that is some sort of message or an email or, God forbid, a live on Instagram. I was on my way to work, on my way into the office, on a tram, and I get a DM from a listener of this podcast that just says, John Leguizamo has gone live and is talking to fans. And I'm so sorry I don't remember your name, like who did that, but thank you. I immediately on this tram jumped on the live. And there he is, just talking to some dude. And I'm like, oh, my God, Johnny Legs is just talking to people. And I start, I'm like, I'm fucking in this. And I start messaging, like, on the live, being like, please me.
Hello,
please pick
from
me.
Melbourne.
Yeah. And big shout out to the listeners who jumped on the live as well, who were like, admission to the conversation, admission. But he kept adding all these other people and he didn't really know how to run a live. At one point he had four people on. At one point he had a kid on that was like dancing for him. It was weird, but I was gunning for it and we were pushing. And then all of a sudden, Zach Ruane jumps in and he starts asking questions. John's not, people are now saying like on the chat, Leguizamo-rama, like there's a podcast about you. The host of the podcast is here and whatever. And he just didn't even give us a bar.
John.
Now, as someone who has been on lives, I can, like, you miss the majority of the comments coming through. And I also was very careful because, like, sometimes he'd be talking about very serious things and I'd be like, I'm going to pull back. I'm going to pull back on the comments, you know, because I don't want him talking about, like, very serious topics. And I'm like, Leguizamo-rama!
I had far less awareness than that. Like, far less awareness. He could have been talking about genocide. And I was like, I have a podcast about you! We watched Regarding Henry last week.
Was that so, like, just the, I can imagine how exciting you would have been thinking maybe. Just
shitting my panties. I was so keen for, and I was so sure.
What
was
your line going to be?
I was such an arrogant little cunt.
Oh, no.
I was like, he's going to pick me. He's not only does he know we have a podcast about him, but people are gunning for me in this chat.
On this tram, what did you prep in your head that you were going to say to John Leguizamo when he said, hello, Mish?
Oh, my God. Hi, John. I wasn't prepared.
Oh, okay.
I would, and without Zach there as my anchor, I would have been fucked. I would have ruined any opportunity he would have had for future contact. But probably just something along the lines of like, hello, we're giant fans. We have Titan AE coming out this week on our podcast.
Do you want to talk a little bit about Titan AE?
Yeah.
What was it like playing Goon on Titan AE?
We have our friend Annie Lumsden coming on next week to watch Sisters with us.
Yeah.
What did you think of Sisters?
What was Sisters?
How funny is Maya
like,
Rudolph?
Did you think about or talk about Titan AE much on the set of Sisters? From my perspective, though, I had a really great journey because I came in late. I had a shower because I had to. It was on Wednesday, I think. It was the night of the gala, the show, All Stars show. So I had a performance that night, and I was like, "Oh, I really need to prepare for that." But fuck, I got to watch John Leguizamo's first ever Instagram live. So I missed the first chunk and I came on and it was four people, which is new because Instagram Live in the past has only been two people. Mm. I was like, oh, he's talking to four people. But I don't really recognize these people that he's talking to because you can like hook people into your chats. It's like, I don't really recognize these people and they're talking about his career. And I didn't know what was going on because I was like, who are these people? And Mish kept being like, let me in, let's chat. And I'm like, Mish, he's already got the four people that he's planned to talk to.
Again, I have zero awareness at this point. I am just
but
hyperventilating.
But you
knew what was happening.
More aware moment, of what's going on. I thought it was John and like three other like
behind
comedians,
the scenes of,
or like three other working actors that I just didn't recognize, right? And then one person leaves the chat. He's like, see you later. And they're like, and I love your work, man. And I'm like, that's an odd thing to say. And then he brings in another person. And it's just this man that's like, oh, my God, John Leguizamo. And they're like, yeah, man, chill out. He's like, oh, my God, you're John Leguizamo. Oh. He's like, yeah. He's like, oh, my God. And then the other guy that he's chatting to, this guy that's so confident and is talking to him like an equal, is like, goes up to his mom. He's like, Mom, look. Look, Coletto's way. Yeah. And I'm like, oh, my God. Mish is trying to get on this Instagram Live because no one has explained how Instagram Lives work to John.
Yeah, John's got no clue.
And he is accepting live requests from random people.
Yeah. Oh, good on him. Just 56 years young, he's going for it.
He got some kid on at one point that was not communicating with him at all and was like showing him random like stuff that was on his television and dancing for him and stuff. And John was just like trying to act
dancing
like really,
for him, just the yeah.
Like, and John was trying to act like, oh yeah, that's cool. But obviously, this kid was like losing his mind. And then John somehow realized how to get him out of the chat, which was great. But he end of the day. He never accepted my request.
I'm so sorry.
And I never got on to the live.
And someone sat him down now and explained, oh, you don't add people at random. You just respond to their comments. Someone's explained that to him now. So I feel so bad that I wasn't there to support you at the start.
Mm.
To get on that because that was the window.
Guys, it was a crapshoot. This is John Leguizamo. I mean, do you know how many people are requested to get into that chat? You guys, you gave it your all and yeah. I'm proud of you.
Thank you.
You did so good, Mish. Yeah. I was really proud
I really
of you
tried.
Too.
He did say at the end, we should do this again sometime, but definitely in his head he was like, I'm never doing that fucking shitstorm again.
I think he was thinking we should do it again, but like some 20-year-old kid who's making 50K a year who works for the company that helps him with social media has sat him down now and said, oh, by the way, don't add people. That's more for like other celebrities. So that I think what's going to happen is he might respond to comments. We might be able to get him
to
doing
say
like
our
a,
podcast.
Oh, yeah, I've heard about that podcast.
Oh, my God. I would orgasm.
But that's but I think the window that you really valiantly tried to get, which was on the live with him.
You think that's closed?
Or maybe not.
I don't think so. Do you see the picture that he did to advertise it? It's just like him lying on his pillows in his bed. Yeah. He'd written some.
He's in London right now. I don't think any of the people at his social media company watched that live.
No, I think he's gone rogue.
I think he's gone rogue.
You know, he's writing a comic book right now.
Yeah, he loves it.
Annie, we want him to stop working so bad so this podcast doesn't go forever. But the guy doesn't stop fucking working.
He's like
the
hardest
worker. I just have to look up
Titan
AE on my phone.
He did.
That's another thing.
Just movies. Just movies. Oh, and I think TV series. During 2020, which was a COVID fire, he did six films.
He's so dependable.
Or six projects or something.
You know how Dwayne The Rock Johnson talks about being the hardest worker in the room?
Yeah. Fuck off.
He's not.
No.
He's got nothing on legs.
Oh, no. And Dwayne wishes he had an ounce of the charisma.
Do you think Dwayne could do a live on Instagram with fans? I don't think so.
His would be different.
Oh, okay. All right.
All right.
What's our degrees of separation from Dwayne? Is he going to hear this and get upset?
Oh, God.
All right, go on.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
We should talk about sisters.
Yeah!
Let's do it. Right. So, Zachary Thomas Ruane, it's your turn to do the blurb today.
Fantastic. Let's do
it. It's definitely something you've remembered to do, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
Yep,
absolutely.
It's not like I asked you 5 minutes before we started recording, did you
asked
write
me,
the blurb?
And I said, 100%, let's do it.
Yeah.
Okay. Sisters is a 2015 American comedy film directed by Jason Moore, written by Paula Pell, and is the second collaboration between Tina Fey and Amy Poehler following the film Baby Mama 2008. The film centers on adult sisters Kate, an irresponsible single mother, and Maura, a kind-hearted nurse and recent divorcee, who are summoned back to their childhood home by their parents to clean out their bedroom before their house gets sold. The film was released on December 18, 2015 by Universal Pictures. Received mixed reviews, though most critics praised the chemistry of the lead actresses, and grossed $105 million on a production budget of $33 million. Just 1 second. John Leguizamo as Dave.
Zach, for the purposes of the podcast, who is Dave?
Dave is... Dave is an old high school bud.
Mm-hmm.
He used to mac on with Tina Fey, mm-hmm. who's like a party
She's
animal.
A bad girl.
And he is like still, he's still a bit of a party boy.
Can I add on that? That line that Amy Poehler says in their first scene together, something about he says something gross or does something. She goes, that made my legs feel funny. I was like, same, Amy. Like I had a visceral reaction to the movements
this,
he was doing.
This movie was made right before the third wave. Of feminism.
Oh, right, right, yeah.
So it was made right before the third wave of feminism. So some of the stuff in there probably wouldn't, Amy and Tina wouldn't have written into a film.
Well, they didn't write
this
one.
They didn't write it.
Oh, they didn't.
Paula Pell.
Which is very interesting because.
Oh, that makes sense.
So, Tina produced it, but no, they did not write it.
Oh, well, that makes
sense. That's why maybe that makes sense why it's not as funny.
Yeah, that's why it wasn't funny. Okay,
now, Paula Pell's great.
Oh, I love Paula Pell.
Yeah, she's very funny. But yeah, the film is okay.
I think it is of its. It's of its. Do you know what? I'm curious to hear your journey with it because I used to work at a cinema. And this
what
movie,
was the out? What was the setup of that?
So you'd come up. This movie was, and like, fuck, I'm glad I've given the audience a short.
Can I
here.
Can I guess?
Okay, yeah.
This is Cinema 4.
No.
Oh, fuck.
Have a think about it. Week one. We're talking week one. Where is it?
Jam Kay. Factory.
Jam Factory?
It's not a 7.
No.
I think it could be a 5.
No, it was more of a 1-2-3.
Okay.
It was more of a 1-2-3 situation.
Is that good?
And it's medium rare. If Cinema 4 is rare... And Cinema 7 is well done. It's a medium rare.
Okay.
It's on the end of smaller. It's the right. after. It's not as small as 8 or 4, but it's definitely not a 5.
Cinema math.
1-2-3 is a small medium.
Yeah.
You know, it's a. You got small, medium, large, okay. XL.
Okay.
XXL. 7 is XXL.
Okay. That's a good movie. That's a big one.
It was a medium, but really
a Harry Potter's.
A medium that makes you feel shit.
Avatar. We don't talk about those in a minute. Oh, Avatar.
it was the sort of movie. I used to, like, it's the sort of movie that doesn't exist anymore.
Yeah.
That low to mid-budget.
Yeah. Did you see it?
No, so I didn't see it because I heard it wasn't written by Tina Fey or Amy Poehler, which is their biggest strength. It was them performing a friend's film. Mm. I heard it was like... middling. So I never watched it because I thought it was middling in like a 2-star way, right? Mm. So that's what I went into it expecting today when I watched it this morning. And I personally was pleasantly surprised that I felt it was middling in a 3-star kind of way.
Mm.
So I went in expecting a 2 and was pleasantly surprised and had a great time with my 3-star film.
Oh, fantastic.
Fair enough.
Now I'm curious to hear your responses.
Annie Lumsden.
Right.
You saw this at the cinema.
Yeah.
Wow.
I erased a lot of it from my mind.
Yeah? Do you remember? Tell us what you did that day.
At the cinema?
No. The day that you saw Sisters. What was happening for you that day?
I was scared you'd ask this because you guys love nostalgia and I don't remember past a week ago. I was hanging out with my friend Broden and we went to the cinema as we do like every chance we get. Mm. This is 2015.
Yeah. So did I'm you get 25. Pop? Would you have gotten food?
We would have gotten food.
Do you share?
I would have said, I don't want a popcorn because I'm 25 and I'm trying not to. And then I would have eaten all his popcorn.
Yeah.
Which cinema do you reckon you would have seen
that? I reckon it would have been at a... We're 25. Just moved to Melbourne. All right, Melbourne Central. It would have been...
Oh, the city. You
I reckon
gone
it would have been the city. Before we got cool and we got our memberships to Palace Westgarth.
Yeah, that's a cool
to
cinema.
To dox myself. Yeah.
That's a very cool cinema. Yeah. So I'd never seen this film. This is the first time I'd seen this movie. I didn't research this movie a hell of a lot. I didn't realise that Tina and Amy didn't write it. So now I know that they didn't write it. It actually does change my opinion a little bit because I thought I think Tina and Amy are so funny. And I didn't think this was the funniest movie in the world. It had funny moments. It had moments of, ha, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
It wasn't belly laugh, pause the film, I can't handle how funny that is. It had little moments of, ha, but Tina and Amy are belly laugh creators.
I would like, yeah. It was weird that, but like Tina was a producer and then being the... I had this opinion and then I did research a little bit and others have it too. What do you think of Tina as the bad girl?
Interesting. Good for her. Having fun. Yeah. Good to challenge. Good to challenge yourself.
Yeah.
She said things like, I wrote it down actually. She said things like, you're a fun as shit little sister. You got to let it rip.
I might be wrong, but and I might be entirely making this up, but I think I heard about this film. Whether it was on purpose that they did this, but I heard that the roles were intended for the other way around, and then they were like,
they did Baby Mama,
let's
that
mix
way.
It up and let's swap it. Yeah, maybe because of Baby Mama, they swapped.
Mm.
I think I think like now that I know who wrote it, she's a great, great writer as well. She's done really awesome stuff. I think it's one of those things that Tina Fey has said it. She is a better writer than she is a performer, and I think she's at her best as a performer when she's doing her writing, her own writing.
Yeah.
And I think it's a shame that they've never written a movie together.
Who, Paula Palin?
No, Tina Fey and Amy Poehler.
They wrote Baby Mama.
Did they write Baby Mama? I thought Baby Mama was the same situation, but I haven't seen Baby Mama either.
No, Tina Fey hasn't had that many. Like, she had Mean Girls, which was like, that's the zeitgeist. But did she not write
Baby Mama either. That was written by Michael McCullers. This is the point, right? They're two fantastic writers and they've never written the films.
You know what they did write? I'm thinking of, like, the award speeches.
Yeah.
And Tina Fey wrote 30 Rock, which is like fire.
Oh, get
which
out.
Is incredible.
Yeah.
Their award speeches are some of my favorites.
Yeah.
I think that they
do that for a movie so like good. For
yeah,
time.
Very, very good. I didn't think that this if Tina and
it's okay, you don't have to like it.
Sorry. No. Genuinely I didn't hate it. Like shit. I just smacked it. I just punched a telly.
She's so mad.
I'm really mad. I think if Amy and Tina weren't established and weren't known for being so fucking hilarious, I don't think this movie did them justice.
Nah.
But it was enjoyable. Like it's a bit I will never watch it again. I know that for sure, but that doesn't mean I hated it. I would also never watch the movie Buried again. I enjoyed it, but it was full on.
Mm.
Sisters wasn't full on like Buried was, but it had that same like, oh, that was nice. I never need to watch that again.
That it exists almost as like it's the stocking filler of movies.
That's exactly what it is.
Yes.
That is it is the bath bomb of Christmas presents.
Yeah. Yeah.
It is the hand cream of it is the hand cream of birthday presents.
And that's the place that comedy 99% of the time. She's got it.
That metaphor.
It's a type
fizzled
of film.
Like a bath bomb. Yeah.
See, what's that? Sorry,
I said it fizzled like a bath bomb.
Fizzled like a bath. No, because it is. It's that sort of movie. You know, we talked about the drama equivalent because I think Regarding Henry is in the same category. Like it's like you spend $30 million on a movie that's pretty solid. It comes out. You try not to release it on the same week as Titanic, but other than that, you'll make your money back.
Sorry.
No, this is great.
In my research.
I love research. That's why guests are good.
I love having guests on. Tell us more.
Tell me about.
When I looked it up, someone was lamenting the fact that it was premiering the same weekend as the new Star Wars.
There you go. Exactly okay. That. It's exactly a counter programming. Or like the world as it exists, I think this will shift now that the everything's changing post-COVID. Mm. But there was this sort of move towards like you spend $200 million, $300 million on a movie that cannot fail.
Mm.
Like Spider-Man, The Amazing Spider-Man 2, the second Andrew Garfield film, made $780 million and was considered a disappointment because that's the sort of movies they make now. That this sort of movie where it's just like, eh. You
know, like, eh. It's like when you go to a private school and you get your VCE results.
Yeah.
And if you get somewhere between 70 and 90.
Yeah. You guys got to watch Operation Blues. Because at a private school, next.
If you don't get over 95, you're a big dumb cunt.
No,
I was in the middle of watching Sisters and I kept having to pause it because my partner was watching, was it Operation Varsity Blues, about the scandal, like when that Felicity Huffman went to jail for.
I want to watch that.
Yeah, for the testing. Anyway.
What an interesting house that was that night.
Yeah.
Were you watching it in the same room?
Yeah, I was on my laptop because we don't see each other very much these days because we're both very busy. So and I said, I have to watch this for a podcast at once.
So in one corner of the room, it's like some line like, hey, you can't just go straight to anal. Yeah. And then in the other corner of the room, it's like, Felicity Huffman now has 3 months.
And I went to jail and I didn't know what I was doing. I was like, that poor man. And then the sinkhole went to anal.
I have a mini rant that I can go on. We love a rant. I've always had a big issue with Tina Fey.
Careful.
No. I love her. Love her. How she's so like celebrated for representing women that aren't thin and aren't like. Fit and beautiful. Yeah. And she writes about it in her book as well. And like, it's this whole thing about like Tina Fey, she's not your ideal body type, but she's funny. So she's hot. She's got the best figure, and this movie showed that to me.
She talks a bit. Yeah, that's interesting.
I think she says she's lauded for being. She just has like a laundry list of attributes that women are now expected to have and how fucking
she talks about how challenging it is to have that body. She feels like she talks about, like I've heard her talk about.
Oh,
like,
maybe I've got it wrong.
She fits in sample sizes and she says, but yes, that's only because X, Y, and Z.
Oh, okay.
So she talks about that her body is a burden.
It wasn't about her. Like it was just, I've read before that like she's not considered, she's not considered an ideal beauty in Hollywood.
No, she's got glasses and brown hair.
Yeah, but in this film, she's so fucking hot and it just so really, it got my goat. But it sounds like I might be a bit off.
I think she talks about how she feels burdened by that expectation and she meets it.
Mm.
But she didn't grow up like that. She grew up very normal, like, you know, and then I think it's her that talks about the talk shows and stuff where she has to go on. She's like, I have to think of a funny story like any male comedian, but I also have to fit into a sample size Versace dress as well. Like it's like when she goes on a talk show, she also has to think about
that. She talks about like the ongoing unrealistic expectations. Like she remembers like when J-Lo, I think she says like brought the leg meat and then women's bodies as they were celebrated everywhere. She's like, no, like all J-Lo did was then add to the next thing that women were expected to have, like a booty on top of no waist.
Insane. Yeah. It's like, you look at the 90s and how the it thing was to be up and down like a Kate Moss or a Winona Ryder.
Yeah.
Like
no eyebrows.
Wafy.
Skinny as your eyebrows.
Yeah, and then all it took was in 10 years' time, you've got to look like a Kardashian, which is your big butt, your big...
Tina's on it, I think. She's beautiful, isn't that?
Oh, she's gorgeous.
She's got her own stuff as well. She only does this side of her face because of her slashed up face.
Really?
Yeah. Tina Fey.
What?
Oh, my God. I'm such a big fan. I think she's incredible. She doesn't talk about it. So when she was, like, 5 years old, she was playing outside her house and a man came along and cut up her face with a knife.
What?
She's got, look, she's got a big scar on this side of her face. And so whenever she does films or TV shows, she always has to try to get the camera on, like, the left side of her face so you don't – like, she's still beautiful and it's just, like, a scar, but
– I didn't know
she,
that.
That's something that affects her.
And, what a yeah. fucked thing. You're just hanging out and playing and some guy comes and yeah. slashes up your face with a knife.
She doesn't talk about it. But, yeah, she, yeah. Yeah, but she's great. I love her even more. She's just like, she's like, it doesn't define me. Don't, you know, I love, talk about it.
I love Maya Rudolph.
Love.
Yes.
I love Maya Rudolph.
I love John and Maya together. That was, that was a nice. Twist, spoiler alert.
No, no, no. Yeah, we've done the spoiler alert. Oh, we can say everything.
For you.
They fuck they the fuck. House up at the end. Ha, 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 ha. No, John and Maya end up hooking up in the film, and it's just lovely. Like, yeah. what a lovely little combo of people.
He's so intense with every character he interacts with in that film. Do you know what I mean? Like, he'd like the look down, the look up, yeah. the sexy eyes at everybody yeah. from this little man in his Hawaiian trunks.
This is primo dad Guizamo, but yeah. being sexy. He's not sexy Luigi, but my God, is he an attractive dad Guizamo.
I think...
It's upsetting.
I think that I would say this is one of... For this, because I agree, I think like these sorts of films are burdened by plot. Because if you've only yeah. got an hour and a half to do comedy, you're spending so much time on like character development and story.
There
and
are four montages in this film.
Yeah, you know, this type of film, it's like, it's rare that this type of film cuts through and is like brilliant. I think Bridesmaids is an example of a film that is this genre that is like top notch.
Yeah.
But love usually these films are a little plot heavy and not, you know, it's like they're enjoyable, but they, but it's, I think, one of the best roles for, like, one of the best comedic John roles I've seen.
I agree.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sometimes he's a little bit, that it's people kind of not quite giving him the right part for what he's good at. Mm. And it's like, it's right on the, I think it's his best comedic role that we've seen yet.
Yeah. I think that's a very good point, yeah.
Which is
great.
Yeah.
Also super chill. It was very slow. I don't know, yeah.
Yeah, no, he was. And he wore a Hawaiian shirt.
I don't know. I was like, they did a good job when they said, oh, my God, this party's lame. And he was like, you need drugs? I got it. And I was like, oh, that was a good line delivery.
It's really funny. And like when he was that was one of the funniest bits in the movie where he was trying to – like he was proposing a threesome. And
yeah.
Like, and they're like – it was like he just – having fun, and he rarely gets this kind of comedic film. He usually gets films that are like where he's being comedic and he's not given the funniest writing. It was nice to see him in like a Saturday Night Live style film where he could riff with other comedians.
I wonder if he's ever done Saturday Night Live. Surely not. We would know.
I don't know if he has.
How good would it be if John was on Saturday Night Live?
He must have.
You're a Saturday Night Live fan, right?
I reckon late 90s, John.
I watched the clips on YouTube where someone says, have you seen this sketch? Yeah. And then I watched those.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like the Saturday Night Live movies when they get it right. So often they don't.
It's Blues Brothers, end of list.
Yeah, pretty much. Oh, Bridesmaids is.
Was that just started as a sketch?
Was it?
Did that,
oh,
no,
wait,
Blues
wait,
Brothers.
You mean the one that started? I meant that, like, actors from Saturday Night Live, they all get together and they make
film. Oh, I thought you meant, like, it started as a sketch and they turn it into a movie. Blues Brothers is the only one that's done that.
Yeah, I love Blues Brothers.
Oh, the Saturday Night Live movies. Yeah. There's a lot of them.
Yeah, we know.
Oh, okay. I was, like, looking up hosting. I thought you just said that Blues Brothers is the only one. I was oh, then you've made a horrible mistake. Oh, my God. I don't know how to bring this up, but no, I misheard.
There are a lot of SNL people in this movie, yeah.
So many. Mm. How nice was the feature of Diane Weiss or Weiss in this film?
As their mum?
Yeah. And James Brolin was the dad.
Great.
Yeah.
Couldn't fault him.
Yeah, and there's a scene where they go to the parents' house to have a chat or whatever, and they were in the middle of having a fuck. And that was funny.
The sexy heels.
Yeah.
And
she was all flushed
back
from lace sex.
Stockings. Like the kind of stockings that Liza Minnelli and Cabaret wears with the line.
So good.
And the dad. Yeah. It's very fun.
Yeah.
Do you know who I thought was great? Who I think is really, really underrated?
I hope you say The big muscle man I'm thinking of. No.
John Cena.
John Cena. No, no, not John Cena. He is great. Oh,
yeah,
he was very good.
He plays the drug dealer. He's heaps of fun.
Very funny. But no, Bobby Monaghan. I had to look him up. I always forget his last name.
Who's that?
The friend the guy that thinks he's funny.
Oh, who sticks his dick in the paint.
Thinks he does drugs. The bit where he comes in.
He thinks he does stevia.
Yeah, thinks he does stevia and he accidentally does a really hardcore drug, which is such a trope. But basically he's the character that, like, they don't want to invite to the party because he tries too hard to be funny but isn't.
So funny.
And it's like, oh, that's a funny setup. And the bit where he comes to the party is like, I was like, these sorts of movies, particularly because we do comedy, I don't laugh that much when I watch a comedy on my own. I was laughing so much when he came to the party with his, like, what is he doing? Like, welcome to Jurassic Park. He does like four.
I like patience, like everything.
Yeah, like patience. Oh. And it's like, it's one of those four references in a row. It just like that moment, that sequence. I was like, I'm going to like cut this out so and show this. It's like,
funny.
It's such a real, you know, when like the, and it was writing as well, but performance is that combo of like, you know, when that like, fuck, I've been trying to like nail that character. That's a character I've thought he's funny, that we all know people like that, and I've never quite been able to nail him.
He nails it.
The writing nails it. So welcome. It's so funny. And just the person that you're like, oh, yeah. Okay. All right.
I worry that I was that person in high school.
No.
We all were.
No, in high school.
Oh, in high school. Yeah. No.
A little bit. We were all quoting Austin Powers.
Yeah.
And Dumb and Dumber.
But that type of person is the type of person that's nothing but it. And it's the...
Yeah.
I want to say names because we all know because we have shared, but I won't.
Just mouth it off, Mark.
No. just that type of person that is like not... comic timing... You either have it or you don't. I really believe that. Like, you can learn so many skills on top of it, but if you don't have that instinct, and it's the person that doesn't have that instinct but decided at, like, 12 that they were going to be funny, like, they decided to be the funny guy. So funny.
I know that part. That made me laugh. I'll say that.
Oh, God, it's great.
You know, and they'd come in and they'd just be like, oh, and they're always, like, a step... They're always like a step behind the comedic beat, if that makes sense. Or they're always like...
Now I am worried that this is me.
No. You wouldn't be a working comedian if it was you. Like, it's the person that's not a comedian. It's the person that, like, just doesn't know how to hit a joke.
Do you know what it is? Oh, this drives me fucking crazy. And often it's like this person has this... quality. It's the person who will start a conversation by saying, that reminds me of last Thursday. So that someone there says, what happened last Thursday? Like, do you know what I mean?
How big was it?
Yeah. Or if they're like, or they'll just be on their phone or something and then they'll say something along the lines of like, thank God that got sorted. So that you go, what got sorted, cunt? Like, I hate that. Do you know the person I'm talking about?
Yeah, it's exactly that. Yeah. Guy. And it's
just if you don't engage it, oh.
And it's also the way they do that character is like there's huge amounts of like cut to the awkward, the polite laughter. It's a very good observation of a character. Like from the writing perspective, it's so, oh man, it tickled me something rotten.
No, that was very,
I was just sitting there on my laptop, just be like, oh.
I would have started the film there. Just
I loved the scene where Amy Poehler tries to have sex with that guy that she met that was doing the gardening.
Yeah.
And the way she was, like, she was very drunk and she'd obviously never, like, had, it lacked all suave and sexy, which is so great because, not from necessarily personal experience, but just generally speaking, one night stands or hitting on someone for the first time or going to bed with someone for the first time is often, like, a contrived level of sexy. Do you know what I mean?
Oh, 100%,
yeah. It's that really contrived, like, well, like, maybe it's best time for you to take your pants off or something like that. And it's just like you don't talk to people like that. It's not that sexy, but because you're told that this situation is sexy, it feels sexy. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And she was just like, all right, get him up, off. off for pants.
Here we go.
Here we go. It's time for us to have sex. And it was just really, like, that is exactly how you feel in that situation. And it isn't ever this kind of like, oh, baby, you feel so smooth under my skin. It is this kind of like, oh, we're touching. Oh, look at that girl. And I just thought that that was just this really beautiful little moment of like, that is really how, in my opinion, I would want it handled.
Amy Poehler is, like, I think one of the, I think the best at, like, under the influence acting comedy.
Oh, so good.
Very funny.
There's an episode of, I'm not crazy.
Parks and Rec.
About Parks and Rec. It's not like, it's not that I, it's just not a show that really hit me. Because I think she's at her best when she's a little crazy and she plays such a straight down the line character in that sitcom. But there's that one episode where she's like,
she's at the club.
Yeah, she's done, like, she's had to, like, she's under some sort of medicine.
This
like,
is a Zowry's medicine.
Yeah, she's under a medicine and it is so funny. She is so funny. It's like, I would love to see a film with her and Tina Fey. Like, Tina Fey as the head writer on the film, Amy Poehler, like, going crazy, like, doing the crazy, because I've never seen her, like, fully unbridled. And I'm sure there's stuff, like, on Saturday Night Live, because she is, like, that would be, like, someone just give them $40 million to, like, do what they want, because I think they would do something really fucking weird and special.
Why haven't they? I don't know.
Hollywood, baby.
Hollywood, baby. Hey, Hollywood, being that sexy, why always ending it up the butt? Why does some contraption get up the butt in the end?
Oh, yeah.
What's your opinion on
what, when he sat on that thing and it went up his ass?
Why is something going up your ass a trope?
I don't know. I think it's just an easy joke, really. Yeah, like something going up your bum.
Little ballerina.
It's just like poo jokes.
You can cut this part. I just.
Oh, no, we don't edit.
We don't edit.
So we're fucked. Don't say anything you don't want to say. The up the butt jokes, it's not that. It doesn't do it for me. The stuff that does it for me is the Welcome to Jurassic Park and like.
That really tickled
me. Maya Rudolph plays the character that they didn't invite to the party, but she wants in on the party really bad. And she was the girl in high school that they weren't friends with. She was a bit uppity and she was a bit of a, like, I'm assuming a bit of a snob. And at first Maya's character's like, well, I don't even want to come to your party anyway. But then she, like, tries to break into the party multiple times and it's just very funny. And the scene where they confront each other about why they angry and Maya's like, why didn't you invite me? It's just so funny.
The Game of Thrones viewing party with rules. Like that was very sorry, I'm mouthing real people. Yeah. It's not very fair to the audience.
I missed it. Would you say that?
I'll tell you later. Okay. But it's like that, like, mouthing the rules, like having the rules and like that Game of Thrones.
GOT nights. Yeah,
it's so funny. The idea of like you're not allowed to say the actor's name. With no phones. It's just like.
They were drinking non-alcoholic wine.
Just rules. Rules is so funny.
Yeah.
Very well-realized characters. It's like. You almost just wish they were able to, like, run a little more free with those characters.
Yeah, well, that's what that's how I felt. And I think that you hit the nail on the head. For me, it's not like I didn't enjoy this film. I did. But the plot became more important than the characters. And it wasn't necessary for that to happen. I really do believe that these should be, like, character-focused comedies. I'm trying to think of more examples of ones that where they do it really, really well.
Bridesmaids is a really great example.
I think The Wedding Singer is a really good
Singer is an awesome example. The first Hangover is a really good example
Of
like Hangover being a really good example of like how much it should have not worked and it did.
Superbad
is a
perfect example. Like probably hasn't aged that well, but fuck, that movie is funny because it is so character driven and not plot driven.
We have to get to a party. Obstacles.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So I think I did enjoy this film, but there were things about it that I thought were lacking. But I mean, who the fuck am I?
No, but that's it. And then you hear, who are you? No, you've got podcasts.
Yeah, like, I'm important. So my opinion does matter.
We bring joy to people's lives.
Mm.
It's joyous.
We fill their ears. We keep away the boredom while people are on public transport or walking their dogs.
That's true.
How many Leguistamos?
So you've listened to our podcast before, but for anyone who doesn't know, Leguistamos.
Who cares? You'll work it out. How many Leguistamos?
How Leguizamo-y do I find this film? So I thought his character was fun. I thought he did very well. Like you said, I think it's one of his strongest comedic characters that I've seen. And he wore a fun little shirt.
Mm-hmm.
Three and a half.
Look, I think just for the virtue of, like, John getting the play, getting to, like I said, best comedic John Leguizamo we've seen, he gets to play. I'm going to give it 4 Leguistamos.
That's not bad.
I think it very much does it, like, it only for the fact that he was not in it more.
Yeah. Mm.
That's the only, because he's in it. It's so easy. John, I think, is at his best comedically in an easy sort of, like, when it's easy, fun, chill, playful. And I just felt like, more than anything, this film felt like everyone was just having a good time. You know, everyone on that film is John's making his money from Sid the Sloth. Paula's making her money from Parks and Rec. Tina Fey's making her money from 30 Rock. They're all wealthy, comfortable, happy. And someone said to them, hey, you want to go down? Paula's written this script. You want to go down to Florida for a couple of months, make a film, hang out, have fun. We'll just cast all our mates from SNL. And they've just gone, yeah. They're having a good time.
Beautiful.
So I give it 4 Leguistamos because everyone's having a good time.
That's so nice.
That's so nice.
Star rating.
Annie Lumsden.
He made my tummy feel yucky and I can't decide whether to give him more or less stars for that.
Because I think he was going for that.
Yeah.
Yeah, you've got to consider that he's an actor.
That's it.
And he's an actor.
And I was like, oh, he's so good. But that one part, I was like, oh, yeah. A little twinged. I'll sit on 3.5 as well. Good job. Yeah,
good job, John. John, we loved your work in this film.
John, we think you're fucking great. Let's jump on an Instagram Live. Let's have a chat. I will do a really quick plug for an excellent comedy festival show that's coming up called...
Can you let Annie at least plug hers?
No, I'm a little bitch.
That's what I was about to do.
Why are you going
to
plug some separate show?
I was going to plug Annie's show.
Joking, mate. I know you're about to plug Annie's show.
Annie, can you please tell us all about Annie and Lena's show at Comedy Festival?
Yeah, we can do it together if you want.
Okay, in unison.
Okay. Yeah, okay.
All right.
Annie and Lena
in
this is our show in Melbourne International Comedy Festival
at
the Butterfly Club at 10 p.m.
Do we want to tell the audience a little bit about what it's about? What they can expect?
No.
I think it'd be fun. Come
okay,
on.
If you insist. Yeah, come along and see Annie and Lena. We're
Annie
doing this.
Lena.
Annie and Lena. And this is our show.
Annie and Lena have really, really, really funny stuff on YouTube. So if you want to check that out as well, you should. Definitely go and see this show. I saw them live, not last year because there wasn't a festival, but the year before. And fuck, it was so good.
Thanks,
they got nominated
dude.
For stuff.
We did. We called it This Is Our Pilot, and that was our first show. And now this one, This Is Our Show. And boy, that's the end. That's the pinnacle.
Now you're fucked. But no, honestly, go see it. You guys are so, so funny.
It's like two friends hanging out on stage. It's got that energy. It's like, if you like listening to podcast, like it's a sketch show.
Yep. I think our little tagline Leah came up with is it's all about farts, feminism and feeling good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Nice. It's just a good time. It's like it's like you're sitting around with your mates and they're telling
yelling
funny
at you.
Stories or yelling at you.
Yeah, funny stories.
Yeah, and it's very like warm. You guys have a warm, friendly presence.
Absolutely.
It's very nice. I feel like a third friend when I watch your show.
You guys can
Is that
all,
a fair way to put it?
I think that's
beautiful.
That's
so nice. Please all come and be our friend. We can have up to 30 friends in the room at one time.
Come along. Annie, thank you so much for coming on and doing our silly little podcast and watching Sisters with us this week.
Oh, I'm a big fan. Thanks, Mission Zach.
Oh, thank you. Of Sisters or us?
You.
Yeah!
Yeah!
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.